Elissa Walker Campbell to deliver sports the way you want it. Big names, bold interviews. Beyond the X's and O's. Think big. The Big E Sports Show.
Elissa Walker Campbell, we want to welcome you back to the Big E Sports Show this weekend and the start of college football season. Hey, it is only a few weeks away, and this weekend, one of the games we're going to shine the spotlight on that will be coming up in the month of September is Oklahoma-Utah State, a big game in Norman with the Sooners on the 4th, and we are so delighted to welcome into our show on the Western Company of Texas phone line, Utah State's head coach Gary Anderson. Coach Anderson, thank you so much for the time.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Let's start our conversation by getting our listeners up to speed on your Aggies, learning a little bit about the team. Right now, you guys are in the middle of two-a-days. How are things progressing, and perhaps what has been the biggest point of emphasis going into this season?
Well, you know, we're progressing. That was where we thought we would be as a football team. I think our kids have had good energy. They've had good excitement level for the first week going into week two. We had a big scrimmage yesterday, and we've made some strides. That points of emphasis for us are very simply: we need to be much, much, much better on defense as a whole, and that's been a point of emphasis since the end of last season. And we've got to become a football team that is more effective on the defensive side of the ball. And then we need to kind of continue the trend we started last year on the offensive side of the ball. If we had our negatives that we sit down and we look at and where we need to go to win games that we lost last year, and we need to be more productive in the red zone on offense and on defense. Our short yard situations we need to improve on offense and on defense. And then our administrative penalties, which is the pre-snap penalties is what I call an administrative penalty. We need to definitely make some strides in that area. And then just to continue to be a more physical football team overall as we, you know, we're year two into this thing. We've been here a year and a half, and we're making strides. We have plenty of work to do.
Of course, Utah State is there in Logan, Utah, and we were talking earlier, the temperature is about 95 to 98. How do you prepare your guys? How do you prepare the Aggies for those extreme temperatures and the heat? Because, you know, in Oklahoma and Norman, it's going to probably feel at least like 99% humidity.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, last year we went to Texas A&M, and on that day, we felt like the temperature and the humidity was not really a factor for our football team. I understand it's a little bit of an evening kickoff, and I have a couple coaches on the staff have coached there, and with the tremendous size of just the sheer press box that's there, I've been told the field to be shaded. So that's a positive for us at that point of the day. However, we do train in altitude, so that's a positive for us. So when we do go down, it's easy for us to breathe. We should be able to get more air. However, that does not transfer over when you're talking about with the humidity level. And that's the heat's not really the big deal. It's true with the humidity, and we've got to preach to our kids to, you know, make sure we hydrate going into the game, and then, you know, keep them prepared and let them understand that it is going to be a factor. And many of these kids, we keep getting more and more kids from Texas and Florida on our football team. So those kids, I don't think it'll be a big surprise for them, but it could possibly be a factor, and we just do everything we can with the trainers to educate the kids.
You mentioned in the 2009 season that game in College Station. Of course, you only lost by 8 to Texas A&M, and they're a team that has big expectations in the Big 12 South. Let's talk about your team coming into the season, coming off a 4-8 record. You have really raised a lot of optimism with the program and raised the level of expectation. Coach Anderson, how have you been able to do that? Is it with that unwavering work ethic?
Well, you know what? I don't know. I don't know what exactly what expectations are as far as where we sit. But when we came here, we set some goals. Personally, as a team, we set some goals. We know where we want to head, and we know we need to compete at a high level. And we expect to build a program here that's number one is a winning program that allows us to be here for a long time. And number two is a program that people can be proud of off the field. And I think if I could say right now where we've made our most strides, you know, we won 4 games last year, and we've done some things that they haven't done here. But that's not what we all came here to do. It's to win 4 football games. So I don't look at last year, and you know, we're not going to pound our chest over 4 victories. But I think what we've done is we've changed the culture a little bit on the football program in a good way. And it wasn't, I'm not going to say it was bad before we got here, but everybody has their own ideas and their own views the way things should be. And I think our kids off the field, what they do in the classroom, what they do socially, never perfect by any stretch of the imagination. I don't think any football team would ever deem themselves as being perfect. But our kids have wrapped their arms around a discipline program. They've sunk their teeth into it, and I believe it'll make us a better football program. But at the end of the day, it's all about wins and losses. And, you know, we expect ourselves to be a better football team year two than we were year one. And we've got a very, very tough opponent right out of the gate, and we all realize that.
You are listening to the voice of Gary Anderson. He is the head football coach with Utah State, the Aggies, and of course finished the 2009 season really on a positive, a little bit of momentum coming into this season, and that was a win on the road at Idaho by 3 points.
Yeah, that was a wild game. Now that's an old-fashioned wax shootout, I guess you could say, and it was good for us to get a win on the road. There's kids in this program that have been here for a while now, and they've never won a WAC game on the road, and it's very important for us to be able to establish that and understand that, that number one, that it can be done, and it's baby steps when you learn how to win and you learn how to understand those situations and how to be able to close out a game. And that game went back and forth, and there were swings for ourselves, there were swings for Idaho, and we were able to come back and win that game, and you just really can't put a price tag on getting that done on the road in a close environment and finding a way to make those plays. We can talk about it always one as coaches, and we can say this is what you got to do and where you got to do it, how you got to do it. But until you get that done, I really don't believe that the kids simply believe. And we had some carryover in that game. Hopefully that helps our leadership. It helps our maturity level, and it helps us understand that we can compete with a very good team, but you have to make plays at the end of the day to win.
Who are some of the key players that you signed in the offseason? Did you go the junior college route?
Not heavy into the junior colleges. More so the first year we did. We got three or four junior college kids. They were all mid-year young men this year. We did take one corner that joined our program late, and we didn't sign him until July. But not big into the junior colleges this last year. Down in your area, we have some young men that have done a tremendous job for us. He recruited us last year, a running back named Robert Marshall. He's come in and done a nice job. We took three young men from Florida, which gives us a total of seven young men from Florida on this football team. And, recruiting in the South was something that I really got myself into just my last couple of years when I was at the University of Utah. We had such success with kids from Texas, and these young men are coming into Utah. They love Logan. They love the setting of the school. There's 23,000 students. You're the show when you come to Logan, Utah. Now, when you come in here, you are you're the Miami Dolphins. You're the Oakland Raiders. Whatever it may be, it's big time, and people are excited to have you be around the program and be part of the program. Kids love that, and it's a great, safe environment, and it's a quality school. So we're having a lot of luck out there in the South recruiting, and we need to keep going down those lines, and I'd like to get into 15, 20 kids from Texas and the same from Florida, and I think it's doing nothing but make us better.
Well, I have to mention, I had talked about the junior college route. What about a newcomer we're keeping our eye on, wide receiver Matt Austin? He had, 22 passes last year?
Yeah, well, Matt was actually, we signed Matt our first year as a junior college player, and he did a very nice job for us preparing for the season. He broke his foot a year ago this last July. Matt is back now after having that foot for a year. He used his redshirt year. He has 2 years left. Had a very nice spring. He's had a very nice camp. He is a go-to guy for us. He's a big, strong, physical receiver. Matt may not just get up and run away from you with blazing speed, but he has tremendous ball skills, runs very good routes, and he's a very strong receiver. So we're looking for him to be a great playmaker for us. And DeAndre, our quarterback, needs to have another one or two of those receivers step up to get him where he needs to be.
We are going to talk about DeAndre, your quarterback, here in just a moment, but talk some more about some of the injuries. A disappointing loss. Hate to lose Robert Turbin, who had nearly 1,300 rushing yards last year. That was a big blow, a significant loss. Who is going to fill that slot, Coach?
Well, that's a big question. Right now, Michael Smith, Durbin Spate, and Kerwin Williams are the three young men that have come in and filled Robert's shoes. If there's a positive to Robert's injury, the only thing I could say is that when it did happen in January, it gave Michael and Durbin and Kerwin an opportunity to understand that it was their show and it was time for them to step up in spring ball and get themselves prepared to be, and I think they've accepted that challenge. They've done a nice job. Robert's with us. Robert's with us every single day. He's rehabbing his knee, and he will definitely not be with us this season, but he continues to be a great leader. But those three kids will carry it. And then a young man named Joey DiMartino, who was he's a junior college guy, I guess you can call him that, but he technically has 3 years left. We took him as a freshman out of a junior college. He has 3 years left with us. He'll be the other back that could be in the mix.
The guy we are definitely keeping our eye on will be your quarterback, senior number 12, DeAndre Burrell, a very special young man, and I understand he's got tremendous quickness and a dual-threat quarterback.
Yeah, DeAndre was, I got a chance to compete against DeAndre and coach against DeAndre again when I was at University of Utah. We played Utah State, so I got to see DeAndre on the other side firsthand. And at that point, he was really a kid that hadn't played much quarterback, an unbelievable athlete that came in and has a very good quickness, very deceptive kid, and he'd be a tremendous wide receiver also because he has tremendous hands. But he played quarterback my last year when I was at Utah. We moved him, kept him there at quarterback. And a year ago, you know, DeAndre was still an athlete that was playing quarterback. And now I believe what we've got out of DeAndre is we have a quarterback that's a tremendous athlete, done a nice job. The whole key to DeAndre's success this year, he's going to do his part. And he's going to be prepared, and he's going to be very successful at doing his job. He needs a supporting cast to become a great player. Any quarterback that's a good player that can become a great player has a great supporting cast, and that's what I'm looking for. This football team is on the offensive side, is who is going to be that supporting cast for DeAndre to make him great.
Coach, you are spot on, and you talk about his preparation, his focus, his dedication, putting on 15 pounds in the offseason. I mean, I'm hoping that was all muscle, right?
Yeah, you know what, for him, I don't know if he can put on any fat. Because that kid can eat a number one at McDonald's 24/7 and not gain an ounce of fat on his body. His metabolism definitely runs hot, but he did. It was important to him to gain some weight, and he's got himself up to 195 pounds, and I think it'll help him. So what we'll see as the season progresses, but he looks as quick as ever.
Okay, I've seen a couple of charts. Is he 6'2 or is he 6 feet tall? How tall is he?
DeAndre's a six-footer. Yeah, he's not 6'2". I wish he was, but he's 6 foot. But, you know, he does a good job of getting out of the pocket and moving around. But he's probably 6 foot and some change, but he's not 6'2".
Just a couple more moments with Gary Anderson. We are talking about his Utah State Aggies head football coach. He is in his second season. Big expectations in the WAC Conference. Talk about what concerns you the most about this Oklahoma team. Yeah, they're coming off an 8-5 season, but they have reloaded, as always, at every position.
Yeah, well, I would say that, you know, when you go in and you're going to play in Oklahoma, and, you know, I've spent my years and I've had an opportunity to compete against some pretty dang good football teams, and I do know one thing, that they'll come out the first of the year and they're going to be healthy, they're going to be anxious, they're going to be excited, they're going to be, you know, that the first game that they dropped last year, I'm sure they're not real excited about that, and they want to get some start the season off the right way. There's a lot of factors, but the bottom line for us is walking in there. We know they're going to have tremendous athletes. We know it's going to be a crowd that's going to be going crazy in a hectic environment. What we've got to be able to do is we've got to go in there, and, you know, we already know we're going to bring 66 to 70 kids with us on that airplane. We're going to walk in there with our coaches, our trainers, our strength guys, and our players, and in a very, very, very adverse environment. And we talk about it every day. We prepare it. It's not going to surprise us when we walk in there. And we're going to play against a very good football team that has unbelievably skill, and they're going to be big and strong and physical. So the only way to counteract that is to prepare yourself for it, understand what you're walking into, believe that you're a good football team, which I do believe we think we're a good football team. We'll walk in there and compete. And we've got to find a way to hang in there and then make the game get into the fourth quarter and look up and see it's close. We did that last year at Texas A&M. And I don't think this football team last year walking to Texas A&M believing in any way, shape, or form that they could truly win that game. We talked about it, but did we really believe it? I don't think so. I think this team this year is different. I think they'll walk in there in an environment that the great respect for the football team they're playing. They understand the tradition. They understand the team. We also understand that their kids and we're kids and their coaches and we're coaches, and we're going to walk in there and play a football game, and we expect to play well and execute what we do and not worry about the fans, not worry about the tradition, not worry about any of that stuff. And if we can do that, I believe we'll have an opportunity to be successful, have an opportunity to get in the fourth quarter, and we will see. Now, if we walk in there and become starry-eyed, we'll get run right out of that stadium.
You've had a chance to watch a ton of film on DeMarco Murray. Just your impressions of him, just an outstanding senior.
Well, you know, DeMarco, I recruited him, and I guess I can say I recruited him. I talked to him in spring, going through the recruiting process, and when I was at the University of Utah, and you know, he's getting recruited by everybody in the country. But he's a tremendous young man. Then he was a tremendous young man. Everybody in the school had nothing but great praise for him way back when, and this was, what, 4, 5, 6 years ago now. And I'm sure he's done nothing but carry himself very well on and off the field. I know he's had some injuries he's gone through his time at Oklahoma, and I'm sure he's looking forward to his senior year. So, tremendous kid from what I know of him, and I know on film he's a tremendous athlete. So, he'll be a hard one for us to deal with.
Just have time for about one more question I have to ask you. You had mentioned earlier, you know, spending some time as an assistant coach at Utah. You obviously probably had a chance to keep your eye on Landry Jones, a kid out of New Mexico.
Yeah, we did, absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting you say that. We've got Dave Baldwin, and T.J. Woods on our staff here, who both coached at the University of New Mexico. So they know of him very, very well, and also Bill Bush was at Nebraska, and Bill Bush recruited him a little bit when he was at the University of Nebraska when he came out. So he's, again, a highly recruited kid, and most of the kids that are on that roster, they come out with that five-star tag, and I tell our kids all the time that, and at the end of the day, Utah State University, your developmental program, you come in, and you're going to get a bunch of five-star recruits as they go through, however they get tagged. No, you're not. It's our job as coaches and as players to close that gap, and we need to become three, four, five-star players as we progress through our time at Utah State, because we're not going to walk in here with four or five-star players. But, you know, the quarterbacks, the running backs, they're tremendous players out there, and we know of a few of them. Not a lot of them, but we've had a little bit of a pass with a few of those young men.
We're shining the spotlight on the season opener with Oklahoma and Utah State. Their leader, Gary Anderson of Utah State Aggies, has been along with us. We thank you so much for coming on. Best of luck, and I look forward to seeing you in Norman.
Yes, ma'am. Even though you didn't want me to say that, I have to say it. So we're looking forward to the opportunity, and but we're also looking for a couple more weeks to prepare.
Absolutely. We're going to step aside much more straight ahead. We'll be right back.